What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
Forever Dog.
All right, let's do it.
All right. So, guys, this is not a political podcast, as you know.
Wait, famous. Why is it not?
Are you starting with this? What?
Yeah, we're beginning with it's not a political podcast. Are we about to get into
some shit?
I'm
just saying that this is famously not a political podcast. But I was just interested to know what you guys, what you guys feel about the death penalty.
Wow.
Wait.
Do you want to know what we feel? Our cold open is what do you feel about the death penalty?
Like, why?
So, no, I just, just like a fun little cold open. Just a little icebreaker, if you will.
A fun cold open. I will say this. I am working on a show right now, and we're looking up all these facts about the justice system and especially in New York, how many people are in jail, but also just in prison awaiting trial. Like, they're not even convicted or guilty, but they're already in prison. And I'm like, oh man, this is a crazy amount of people. And when I think about that and take it over to the death penalty, and it's like, oh man, if there's so many people in prison right now because they can't make bail, because they can't afford blah, 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 this and that, how many people are on death row who should not be on death row? And how many people have been murdered when they were actually innocent? And I'm like, this is not political. You're making me sad. Yeah, I'm not starting off the podcast like this.
I'm not doing this. I mean, what am I say? What if I was like, wait, hold on. What if I was like, well, I think we should have it, and everyone, and any person who's committed a violent crime should be put to death, and that's how I feel.
Honestly, there's people who feel that way. That's
I know,
why we still
but what if
have it?
I was one of those people? That's what I'm saying. We're starting the podcast asking how we all feel. What if I did?
Braylock started us off in a bad place. I don't like this at all. He's just smiling. I don't like any of this. Oh my gosh. Wait, how do you feel, Braylock?
Yeah, what do you believe in, Bray?
Well, no, I just thought I was in Ohio recently and
quick.
And my mom were talking, and then all of a sudden they were talking about the death penalty, and I was like, what's happening? It's weird because, like, I think when I was younger, I was like, yeah, death penalty. Yeah, especially like some like serial killers, because I feel like that's what you think about when you think about the death penalty, right? At least that's what I did. You thought, Ted Bundy and, I don't know, Son of Sam, or I don't know, serial killers. Even though, Ted Bundy did get the death penalty, I think.
He did, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or like Timothy McVeigh, but like when you actually like learn about who gets killed, how many people are wrongly convicted, it is one of those things where it doesn't. I don't know. It just like it doesn't feel right. It doesn't square up. And it's weird that it's, I remember it being like a huge issue. I feel like people don't talk about it that much anymore, but it is like, when you kind of think about the fact that like, there's these people that get executed by the state, and then they like get electrocuted. I don't know. It just feels crazy.
Also, you think about the number of those people that are Black.
Exactly.
Like, when you... I don't know, man. It's like one of those things I keep thinking about. And we'll talk about it once we talk about this movie, even though we're not a political podcast. Sometimes I'm just like, this country does a lot of things that tells Black and brown people that they don't like us. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Generationally, it's like, yes. Each one of our relatives, no matter if it's us, our parents, our grandparents, great-grand, great-great-grand, they all have probably suffered some type of, like, racial injustice that just continues. And it's become a part of the Black and brown experience that at some point you will have to deal with something. And all you can do is hope that you're one of the people that makes it out safely. Like, that's the hope. It's like, we've been in a situation, the three of us, we could be walking down the street and somebody could say, hey man, a couple towns over, there were a group of guys that robbed something. We think y'all did it. And we like, nah, man.
And that's a wrap. That's a wrap.
Like, we could be like, nah, we just came from doing a podcast at an event. And then that means nothing in the grand scheme of things. Like, nothing.
Truly wild and frightening when you really let it sink in, you know. Anyway, I just wanted to start off with
thank you.
You know, man. a little bit of fun.
Yes. Just,
okay. Yeah. Thanks for that. No, because honestly, that was fun. Yeah. I enjoyed every second of that.
And, yeah. I was in a good mood before we started this podcast.
No, I mean, and then we talked about.
And then I asked the question that was, you know, it's just mercy.
What?
That doesn't make sense at all. You had so many opportunities to say it. You had so many opportunities to say it.
I'm so mad.
No, the question was just mercy.
That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense.
That horrible question we had to.
It's a little just mercy.
Okay.
This is our producer's last episode with us, and this is how you want to do her final. Yeah,
how dare you do this to Anna?
How dare you do this?
How dare you do this to Anna? Anna deserves better than this.
Anna, don't start the show yet.
We're staying
in the cold open. we never leave.
She deserves just mercy.
Wow.
Honestly?
No.
Okay.
Don't give it to him.
No. Okay. James, honestly, he turned it around.
That's all she wants. Just
once
mercy.
The show starts, I'm not going to be here.
No. Okay. James, hear me out. I wasn't going to start, but I feel like Bray, he turned it around. He worked it out.
Man.
Anna wants just mercy. That's all she asked for. She said, hey, John, just mercy.
All right. Now get us out of the cold open. Now,
now all of our fans are listening to this and they're like, can you please just mercy?
Oh my God. Anna, start the show. Get us out of this.
Here we go.
Jonathan Raylock, James the Third, Drum Milligan.
What more can I say? You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
Black actors, man.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
I could tell just by looking at you that you did it. Some white man.
Okay, wait a minute.
Why'd you say it like Michael B? I was like, wait was this one of his lines?
Was that?
I did an impression line.
ever spoken in the movie, or was it just?
It was written, but it was also spoken in the movie by. It was spoken by Lil Cube.
Yeah, Ice Cube's son said it.
Right.
Lil Cube.
He did say.
I couldn't think of a quote because they were all upsetting, so I just went with an upsetting one that's a direct quote from.
But you didn't say it like Lil Cube. You said it like Michael B, though.
Yeah, you did say it like Michael
okay,
B.
Okay, fine. Jordan. Hold on. Wait. Hold up.
All right, rewind.
Hold on. I'll do a rewind. You know what they said to me? They said,
what did they say?
I could tell just by looking at you that you did. Yeah, that.
I feel like that's more like Jamie.
Stop doing it.
I feel like that was Jamie. I don't know if that was Lil Cube.
Because Jamie was a little bit. Jamie was a little bit up.
What?
You know what they said to me? No, he was like, he was sort of there.
I don't know if Jamie was
more there than.
What is happening?
He was more there than he was. Than he was. Hold on. What did I do for Lil?
All right. Just mercy.
This episode is a mess.
What did I do for Lil Cube? Hold on. Wait. What
can
did
you
I,
tell?
I can't remember.
Okay. My name is Jonathan Braylock.
I'm Jerrod Milligan.
And I'm James the Third.
Why does your voice go? Whatever. I'm done. I'm not.
I'm all upset. Right, I don't want to talk about Just Mercy. It made me sad. It made me upset. I was having a bad day. I turned on Just Mercy to try to distract myself from the bad day.
And it was a worse
day. My day got worse.
That didn't work out.
Yeah.
Listen, man, we're a film review podcast. We review the films of leading Black actors, and we talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. That's what we do.
Hey, you noticed that John says that intro a little bit faster, so I can't interrupt him and go, yeah, uh-huh. Anybody else peep that out? I noticed. I'm just trying to liven up the mood, man. Mercy's depressing as hell.
That's right. Okay, we're about to talk about this film. It's called Just Mercy. All right? It came out... Wait, did it come out this year?
It came out last fall. It was my last Oscar.
Sorry, it came out. It came out last year in the fall. It was like an Oscar.
They gave us the screener.
That's right. Came out in theaters December 25th, 2019, in limited release, and it came out.
Was trying to get that
wide release January 10th. It didn't get nominated for Oscars.
They was trying to get that Oscar though.
Facts.
You don't do a movie like this that come out on Christmas. You ain't trying to get that Oscar.
They were trying to get an Oscar, and it is like the type of movie that generally the Oscars are like, oh yeah, but this year the Oscars were like, no. And it cost $25 million to make. It made $50 million worldwide. So not bad. It's Rotten Tomatoes score. It's 84%. It's got a 99% audience score. It stars Michael B. Jordan and Jamie Foxx, and it is about the real case of the exoneration of Walter McMillan, a.k.a. Johnny D.
That ain't close to his name.
His lawyer, Brian Stevenson, I believe.
Brian Stevenson.
I do want to know how he got that nickname.
Pulling up his wiki right now. It's going to take a second for me to find it. Don't wait for me to say how he got the... I'm not just going to have it instantly. I just pulled it up just now.
Why you get mad at us?
It's set in like the early 90s in Alabama.
Yeah, 92, I think, is when the case.
And Stevenson started the Equal Justice Initiative, which is still doing this great work today.
Yep.
I'll go first with my initial thoughts. I honestly don't know if I like this movie, but I'm happy this movie existed. And I don't, it's not that I don't like it, but I don't know that I like it. You know what I mean? It wasn't like a bio that I was like, yo, this joint is fire. Like, it felt like kind of typical, like, you know, Stevenson, you know, was a classic hero fighting injustice. I thought Jamie Foxx was wonderful. Yes. Wonderful.
Absolutely.
Again, you know, my theory on this movie and why I didn't do well is because I think Hollywood has a hard time with racial injustice in a modern setting. Because again, this happened, this is 1992. Like, this is not that long ago. I do want to talk about the white savior aspect of how these movies work. Like, but I think if there would have been like, I don't know. I have theories on why this movie didn't do well, which I guess we'll talk about. I'm not saying it didn't do well. Also, like, Michael B. Jordan is the one who produced this. This is one of, you know, Outlier Society's first movies. I'm happy he made it. Also, Michael B. Jordan is so, in real life, is so superhero-like that it was hard for me to take the vulnerability that and the fear that I think Stevenson actually had. And Michael B. Jordan was definitely acting his ass off. I'm not going against him. It's like, you know, at what point he takes off his shirt and is like, my man got the six-pack. And I know Stevenson definitely was, like, probably working out because he was young. But I was like, Michael B. Jordan looks like he could beat the shit out of everybody in this movie to me.
And I just wanted him to start swinging on.
I know the setting, and he definitely was playing it real. It's just that visually, I know who I'm looking at in these scenes, whereas like I'm looking at Jamie, and Jamie can kind of transform and change his body and movements and stuff, so I can see him differently. Same with Brie Larson. Like, Michael B. was great. It was just hard for me at certain points. But yeah, man, it was a cool movie. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, I'll go. I liked this movie. I had trouble with the third act of this movie, just sort of in the way that it was presented. I mean, I know that it's based on actual events, so there's not much you're working with what the events that actually happened. But I sort of struggled with that. Like, I don't think that the tension was there, or like the sort of the build of the sort of the of those events. I don't know. It didn't, the way it was depicted didn't pack the punch that I think that it could have, and that I think that like for it to have done better critically, but it did pretty well critically. And it's 87, you said?
84.
84, yeah. So it's not terrible. And I really, oh my God, I think you're spot on, Drew. Like, Jamie was fantastic. And I kept thinking about how like Quentin Tarantino took his phone away to play Django so that he could like understand like you really need to get, need to pull yourself away from this, you know, and like just he felt so genuine in this movie, and he felt like a real dude who was going through some shit. So I just kept thinking about like it reminded me of like Ali Jamie, you know, like you know when there's sometimes Jamie in a dramatic role, you're like, okay, what are you doing? But there, and then there these other times where he like really steps up, and this was one of those for me. I feel like this role for Michael Beat was like definitely his like Tom Cruise movie. Just in terms of like, you know, like when Tom Cruise started getting opportunities like this, it was like everyone was like, oh, Tom Cruise can act, you know.
Right.
And I'm just sort of frustrated that he also didn't kind of get that kind of attention. And I know that, you know, there's all kinds of ways to look at Michael B. as an actor, but I think he's very good, and he's very capable. And so it's frustrating to me that like this movie wasn't exalted more, wasn't, you know, even though I said all those things about it feeling like it didn't quite have the third act that it needed to, but like, I don't know. I it was hard to watch. It was a tough movie to watch. But I thought the acting was really good, and I'm excited to get into the rest of it.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I definitely really like this movie. I think, you know, I remember, here's the thing. This is one of those movies that, there's a decent amount of like lawyer or like criminal case kind of movies. They do follow like a kind of standard structure, which I think this did for the most part. I think it achieved one of its goals, which is probably to show the importance of an organization like Equal Justice Initiative, to show, you know, the fact that especially people on death row, these are people that, you know, society by and large forgets about, doesn't think about, because it just writes them off. Like, oh, those people are murderers. They deserve whatever comes to them. And even though you have this kind of gross injustice that happens, especially for, you know, obviously the like people who were completely innocent, when it happens in places or towns or, you know, areas where people kind of just assume that somebody is guilty before really even thinking about the evidence much, then it just gets lost. So, I mean, I definitely cried multiple times in this movie. Like, I think the acting was good, was really good. I especially like Jamie Foxx. I just think Jamie Foxx is like, it's weird because he's like, I really think he's one of the best actors there is.
Yeah, man.
He really is. And like, obviously he's won an Academy Award and he's been in so many great movies. But I still feel like his career isn't at the level of, you know, other actors of his caliber, which is just weird to me. And he doesn't get the same respect.
He sings R&B, and he did stand up, Bray. And so because of that, Hollywood can't support him.
Also, it's one of those things, it's like, not even just that, but how many actors of color are that caliber? Like, I think about our greats. We talk about Viola Davis all the time, and Viola Davis always talks about how she's never treated like how we think Viola Davis should be treated. So, like, what black artist gets the treatment Like Denzel? Is Denzel the only one?
It really is only Denzel, I think. Yeah, I think it's just Denzel. And, you know, to a much lesser extent, it's like Forrest Whitaker. It's like they live on along the same lines. It's like Forrest Whitaker, Viola Davis.
I mean, and Will got two nominations.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you know. Right. I mean,
when he was like a movie second star. One,
yeah, yeah. But, you know, he was up there.
Yeah. I like Michael B. Jordan in this. I mean, the buffness didn't throw me off. I do think there was this sense of, like, he's supposed to be like this young kid. And I don't know. Michael Jordan has like a very particular style. Like he doesn't switch it up much, and it works for this movie. I don't. It's a little different. Like, you know, it's sometimes these movies have people at the center of them, the lawyers who have like a little bit more charisma. If that's the right thing to say, I don't know. Not saying that Michael B. Jordan doesn't have charisma, but there's like a certain like reservedness. You're kind of drawn into him. And there was something about this movie that it doesn't quite shine in the way that some other, a lot more flashier films, you know, even ones that don't, aren't based on true stories, like, what's it called with Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson and,
Oh, A Few Good Men,
you know, yeah. But I mean,
you
even
can't handle the truth.
That's yeah. But you have so many of these films, like, right. Like Mississippi Burning, or what's the one with
To Kill a Mockingbird?
To Kill a Mockingbird is like the classic. There's one with Matthew McConaughey
and the guy who actually is racist in real life, James Woods.
Oh, it's A Time to Kill.
A Time to Kill, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, A Time to Kill.
It's so
they
funny.
They deserve to die and I hope they burn in hell. What a
I think about James Woods, right? This actor who played a huge racist in a movie. And then in real life, he is openly racist on Twitter. And I'm like, man, how many other racist people just took these parts and they're like, oh, I get to say everything I really want. Have y'all checked? Look at his Twitter.
I know. I haven't looked it up. But like, there was a guy who I was like recently big upping for doing a good job of playing a racist. And then I looked it up and he like, was Republican, but I was like, does that mean, you know, like I couldn't discern whether or not that meant, because he wasn't like he's Republican, but he wasn't, you know, it wasn't like he was spewing hateful rhetoric or anything like that. It was mm-hmm. just like, no, he just has conservative views. So that, you know, I was like,
nigga,
but I was doing a bunch of mental math in my head trying to figure out like, what does this
mean? James Woods, y'all will have, I can't watch Hercules no more. I was like, bro, you ruined Hercules, man. It's bad. It's really bad. It is really, really...
Pull the lever, crunk. Roll the lever! You can't. Nah, brother.
I don't know what's happening anymore.
I'm talking about the line in Hercules when Eartha Kitt's like, pull the lever. And then they pull the lever and then all she... Right. Is that
no,
Hercules or is that...
You're thinking
Emperor's
of the wrong movie, James.
That's Emperor's New Groove. All right. What are we talking about?
I don't know anymore.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week, we had a very special guest, His Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, And you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
Let's start.
I was rambling, I guess, but my point is that I do really like this movie. I can maybe see why it didn't get the same attention that you think it would, but for the most part, it did well. All right, we'll talk about it. Starts with Jamie Foxx kind of like cutting down trees.
My man just out here cutting down trees. He ain't doing nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He cutting down trees.
And then
he gets in his car. He drives out, and it's a wall of cops. A wall of cops?
Guns already drawn.
Yeah.
Guns already drawn before he even did anything. And it's one of those things where it's like, it's so scary because while watching this movie, I had a lot of thoughts. And I was like, you know, we're hearing about Johnny D right now. But Johnny D is considered lucky. You know what I mean? Like, everything about his case is lucky. Like, he made it out of this situation. We are in 2020. And, you know, for instance, I'm working on this show. And I just had to review footage of Blake, that young man who was shot, who was paralyzed by the police. And I'm looking at that. And, like, when you watch the video, my man is just walking. Stop this fight, because he did the right thing. His kids are in the car. And they're literally pulling his shirt, guns already drawn, while the other police are trying to stop people from interfering. And they just shoot this dude in his car. And I'm like,
wow,
this movie could have started so different. And how many situations have people been in Johnny D's spot and we do not know about them? You know what I mean? How many people do we just... And the thing that makes me so sad is that, again, this is 1986, 87. We still are doing it today. It happened in the 70s. It happened in the 60s. And this is just what America does.
I'm so upset.
And we're supposed to, like, the election happened. You know who saved this goddamn election? Black folk.
Black people.
Black women, more specifically, saved the election. And I think about it, we keep doing this kind of shit. And it's like, the whole movie, I was like, why? Why do we keep helping? Why? Like, they keep showing us they don't fuck with us, man. This movie is another example of how great we have to be to prove we are just worthy of equality. It makes me so sad.
Yeah, man, it's.
But when you think about it, this happened because he has sex with a white woman. You know what I'm saying? How many black dudes have been?
Find that out.
How many black dudes have been murdered, imprisoned? Their families have been terrorized because of something happening to a white woman. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is insane to me that this keeps happening. It keeps happening.
Yeah.
Why did I pick this movie? I'm sorry. Honestly, we should have watched that chess movie where the white dude's the lead. What's that? What's it called?
No, don't.
First of all, it's not a chess movie.
Don't give him this.
It's a writing film. And it's...
Don't give...
He wasn't the lead. Either. Oh, my goodness. You're wrong. Okay. Listen, this is real stuff. You guys want us to do a movie about the things that are happening right now. And we see him arrested. We see Michael B. Jordan. He's going to some guy on death row. And he just tells them...
I know him. I know this actor in real life.
Oh, he was great. This dude was great.
Wait, you know that actor?
I looked him up on IMDb immediately. The second
first big thing I ever booked was Blue Bloods. It was a bit part. He played like the main guy in the episode. We both got arrested. A few years later, I booked Chicago PD. I was the main guy, and we both got arrested again. And it's like, we're looking at the call. She's like, oh, nigga, what's good? And now he was in this. He also was in that Shirley, the Madam C.J. Walker show on Netflix. And now he's on P-Valley. Killing it, man. Yes. Killing it. So good.
That's so crazy. Well, I thought he was great. I thought he was really great in this.
Yeah.
Oh, man, he was so good.
Really genuine. That scene was so sad.
What did Michael B. Jordan say? The guy was from my age, all that.
Yes, that part was the part that got me. Like, both the bookends of the scene, like the beginning of it when Henry, I think is the character name, like gets like so upset because he's like, you're not a lawyer, like what are you even doing here? And then he's like, oh, I'm supposed to tell you that you don't have there, you know, you won't have a date set within the year. And he just gets so relieved. He starts, does he cry? I can't remember, but like he does cry. Completely overwhelmed with emotion. And then cut to, it's been 3 hours and they were just sitting in there talking, like, just because, like, yeah, like they have so much in common. They're about the same age, like crazy.
It's sad, man.
Yeah. There was a lot of like humanizing these people that are just commonly referred to as criminals, convicts, convicted felons, you know, murderers, whatever. Like they're written off. So some of the things that this movie, like, there is like a little bit of like scripting wise, like when he first talks to like Brie Larson and they're, I don't, there's something like, there's something very presentational about like, I learned that, like, you know, if you're a black man and you, you know, live here, then this is going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, there was like, it didn't sound completely natural. Like, there was a little bit of like getting out the points, but it still was good. I don't know.
I mean, you know what it is? It's something about this movie. And I was looking it up right now. So sorry. I just wanted to prove it. It was something about, in this movie, I was wondering if they were going to do it, and they kind of did it, but I'm reading it. It might've been real. I was waiting as this movie was going on to see like, all right, when is there going to be a racist white person who has a change of heart? You know, I was waiting. I was like, all right, this movie is going to have one, because we can't have a movie without a racist person realizing, oh, black people are just people too. Sure enough, we get to the guard, and the guard is, for whatever reason, feels sympathy when the execution comes on. And it's like, at no point does he ever show any other kind of mercy in this movie. And now I gotta watch this little white dude be nice after he was mad racist.
Well, he's not nice. He's not being nice.
Yeah, he's not being nice.
You're just showing it affect him.
Yeah, and I liked that because, you know, I know that that they even say it in the court, like in his opening arguments at the end. He's like, this, like, it's no longer just about one man. This is about race and class and the system being broken, right? Like, it is about that. But what I liked about specifically that moment, like, it was very troublesome because it was the same dude that made him strip, and that was like horrible. Like, I didn't like this dude, but I did like it showing that, like, yeah, it also does affect people in this way. Like, it would be hard to watch someone be, to watch someone be electrocuted. Like, when the guy says, don't think too hard about it because it will drive you crazy. Like, yeah, absolutely. Like, I would hope that that would happen to a person if, given these circumstances. So I thought it was complicated to make it that particular person, but I liked showing that side of it too.
I mean, it did say it happened in real life. It wasn't with that particular inmate, but they said this guy did have a turn of heart. I guess there's something
guard.
That guard, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I mean, there is something I keep thinking about. Like, in the movie, they kept saying the system's broken. And I was like, is it though? Like, Braylock said at the beginning, we're not a political podcast at all. But I'm like,
no, the system works fine. Is the system
broken? Or is it working perfectly? It works the way it's supposed to. And it's like every now and then, someone calls out the clog in the system, and they're like, all right, let's give him one or two, and then go back to the system working.
Right.
Like, there's no way that, guys, I'm going to be real, and I hate to say this, when we have kids, you know, our kids are going to be black. You know, mine probably be a little bit darker than Bray's kids, but like, they're going to be brown, you know, they're going to be brown kids. You know what I'm saying? And like, at certain points, we're going to have a talk with our kids. You know what I mean? Like, this stuff will...
I mean, mine going to be darker than Bray's kids. I mean,
anything. I ain't saying like that. I'll be like that. Why, I ain't gonna be ducking the Braves kids. I'm just saying I'm gonna have to talk with my kids. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna have like them niggas. They gonna walk off the street. They gonna know. You know what I'm saying? They gonna be like, oh shit, look at them kids over there. But like, it's so sad. So I think about it. What we're talking about right now probably will not have changed by the time we have children, and like they're of age. That's the scary part about this movie to me. It's like it related in the 90s as it does in 2020, as it did in 1954. And like, that is so scary. And I'm like, what?
Right.
What are you supposed to do? Keep fighting these fights and pray that like there's going to be a guy like Stevenson, who is going to be willing to put his life on the line to keep helping and keep protecting people. Like when that dude got pulled over at one point in this movie, I was like, this is it. Like, and I feel like this movie purposely, like maybe, I'm not sure what his life actually was like, but I'm pretty sure they shielded us from certain things because they wanted this to be kind of, you know, that marketable civil rights movie,
right,
that wasn't super heavy on oppression, but just showed enough, you know, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think if we should go through all the movie or talk about the parts that we like. The Brie Larson character was interesting. Like did we talk about the office? Like, you know, they go to this office and then the guy won't let them in because they're like, oh, you didn't tell me that. You told me you were trying to help people. I'm like, we are. He's like, no, you're trying to help people get off death row. You're trying to help murderers get free. You know, you can't have this space. And then there's like that little like, oh, I thought you were the director. You know, I am. Yeah. I'm director of operations. This is my boss, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I did read that she was very integral. Like their relationship was, she was older. Older than him, I think by like a few years, but she housed him for a little bit. She had the death threats. It's just one of those things where their relationship was weird because I wonder why they aged her down so much. And I'm thinking maybe
just to get Brie Larson in, I think.
Because the director did direct Short Term 12.
You gotta get Brie Larson in the movie.
They always
can't
do that,
not either. Have Brie Larson in it.
True. I mean, like their interactions were weird. And honestly, I'm kind of happy that she was there, but she kind of took a back seat because I didn't want it to really be about the two of them fighting for justice. It was, I'm happy it was about Stevenson fighting and she was assisting. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I didn't want them to share in that glory like they did. And damn, I do shade other movies all the time. Oh my God. I was just about to shade. What is it? Hidden Figures for no reason. But like, I'm not going to shade it. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to shade it. Whatever. Like they didn't need her to like really come through in the end and do that one great thing to give, you know, him courage and like help him keep fighting the good fight. Like I'm happy that fight came from him. And anytime he needed encouragement, it came from Jamie, you know? Right. Like Jamie was the one pushing him forward. And that is what I liked. It wasn't from some white person like doing the right thing. Like at one point, some white people had to do the right thing, like the other lawyer, by joining in on dismissing the charges. But I'm reading that apparently that guy was a piece of shit at first. Like apparently this movie didn't show him as trash as he was. Like he did join in at the end, but like apparently he arrested people. The DA, yeah. Apparently he definitely arrested that guy. He was having dinner with the judge. Like he was like not on board until very later on.
Well, I mean, I do think the movie, like he was supposed to be like not a good guy. And then even at the end, it wasn't like some heroic thing he did. He just like
was
finally guilted into doing the right, like obvious right thing.
Yeah.
But yeah. And you did know. So, cause like we see Michael B. Jordan, we see this character, this lawyer meet with a bunch of different, people, and they do that kind of montage of you're hearing everybody's story. of like how they got on death row or like the different things. And I thought that was a really great way to kind of, again, this movie had a mission. And I think it was really successful in that. Like, it like you hear all these people, like these actors, like kind of say, I, you know, this is what happened. You know, this is what happened to me. This is what happened to me. And we follow one person in particular who did actually do the crime that he was convicted for. And I feel like we didn't get full, like the full story, but we know that he fought in Vietnam. He has, you know, PTSD. He has these traumatic episodes, and he says, like, I didn't mean to kill anyone. I didn't mean to hurt the person. The movie didn't really quite tell you exactly why he left a bomb on this person's porch, right?
Was that I think he left a bomb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he left a bomb.
But also, it's so tricky, man. He was going through, like, he was a veteran, man. Like, almost everybody who came back from Nam had issues. Like, again, my uncle, like, bless his heart, he's still alive. Like, he has nightmares still, man. Like, that, I don't think we ever would truly know what that generation experienced over there. But, like, I just know it just really damaged people. And when they came back here, America did not look out for them. Like, we just didn't. And it's like, when I think about what happened to him, he should have had psychiatric help. You know what I mean? Like,
right, of course.
I understand a girl died, and I'm not saying that's wrong, but it's like, my man had issues, and he served. He got, like, a purple star. You know what I mean? Like, this dude.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I just read here. This is the real story. This guy was a Vietnam War vet. He was the only survivor of an ambush that killed his entire platoon in the Vietnam War. And then he moved to Alabama to follow a nurse he had met at the hospital, and he dated her and was happy, but then they broke up. And so he thought the best way to win her back was to plant a bomb on her porch and then save her from it. But then what happened was that the woman's 10-year-old niece picked up the bomb and was killed by the bomb.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
The other thing about this stuff that's so crazy, there's this organization called Restorative Justice that is about finding different ways out other than like prison to, you know, get people to like kind of pay their debt to society. And it connects the victim with the perpetrator, and it allows the victim to implement what the punishment should be, right? And so sometimes it's something like, you know, you have to, you know, come to my house, like, and eat dinner with me, and I'm going to tell you about this person that you murdered. You know, I'm going to tell you about their lives. Or you have to, or you stole something, you have to, like, you know, do this yard work for a year or 2 years, or paint this house or something like that, you know? Because sometimes when you think of this, like Tessa was asking me, like, would you feel, what does it do to kill someone else? Like, does that revenge actually achieve any sort of, you know? And it's, I think for some people hear that, they're like, absolutely. It's hard to kind of imagine, you know, but I think for a lot of people, it doesn't really it doesn't really make amends. It obviously doesn't bring your loved one back. And it's also just like, okay, so one life was destroyed, and now you're destroying two lives, you know? And it's a really tough, I think, subject, because we've, in media, I mean, we talk about this a lot, but like in so many movies and stuff, you'll see the good guy like killing the bad guys kind of indiscriminately, and we're rooting for the good guy. And when they are killing bad guys, we don't really care. Like, a lot of my favorite movies are like that, like Denzel Washington, Man on Fire, right? Like a little girl gets kidnapped, and he's just like killing a bunch of people to get her back. And you're just like, I don't care, you know, but those are human beings, and they have family. Like, a lot of times they also have families, and, you know.
Yeah, I find that I can't watch those anymore now. Like, I used to be so okay with it. Like, just, right. Oh, they have arrived at that place, and there's a series of henchmen for them to blow through, and they're going to blow through them, and then we're going to get to the top of the building, and then that's where the guy's going to be. But now, every single one of those people, I go, that was a life destroyed. They have whole families. And then, every time, that's where my mind goes now.
Absolutely.
I wonder if they're going to start addressing stuff like that in movies where, like, I know right now people are trying to address how we perceive police officers in movies, like the rogue cop. But, like, yeah, will we address just plowing through just people's lives like this?
Right.
That's if we even have movies anymore. Who knows? Another part in this movie I was so fascinated with was once we got to, what's my man's name? He's in so many good projects. He's in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? He's in Watchmen.
Tim Blake Nelson.
Yes. Yes.
Who plays the guy who perjured.
Yes. And it's something that's so fascinating about that because, again, like, there's so many cases of Black men in particular being, you know, lied upon, and hearing that even this poor white guy was forced to suffer through this. Honestly, I thought they was going to kill him the moment he got that guy on that stand. But the fact that, like, he was forced into this horrible position, and the only way he can get even a little bit of help was to lie on this Black dude who he barely ever, like, who he didn't really know. It just, man, this whole movie, all I kept thinking was, and I know I've said it twice already, it's just like, how many cases of this exist?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And right. And like the to read the stat at the end that, like, 1 in 9 are proven innocent, but those are the ones that are proven, like, yeah. Like that were, like, proven to be, you know, wrongfully convicted. And it's just like, yeah, the numbers, it's countless, the numbers of people that have been put to death and are innocently spending their life or several decades in prison. It's just, it's horrible.
And right? My theory is the reason this movie didn't do well, I mean, not that it did, it made money, but it wasn't, like, you know, all over the place. It's because I really do think this movie it needed to be happier. It needed to feel like Hidden Figures. It needed to feel like The Help. It needed to feel brighter.
And what's crazy is I thought they did a great job of balancing the, like, how depressing this actual subject matter is with the humor and whatever light things they were able to add into it. I thought they did a really great job of that. Like, the closest to a cheesy scene was that first one where he's at with the family, and it, like, ends with them being like, you had me at free, you know? But it's like, but that's exactly what they would say. Like, that's exactly what someone in that situation
that lady
would
who
actually
kept
say.
His tea?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
She kept filling my man's tea up. That was so good.
But that scene is the only one that, like, maybe you could have had a bit of, like, you know, I thought they did a fantastic job of, like,
I did too.
Of even in that scene, like, fully balancing that stuff out. And, like, yeah, it didn't feel like I wasn't tortured for 2 hours watching this.
But it wasn't bright. I, like, my theory really is that you needed, again, like, the reason I liked it is because Brie Lawson was on the sideline. You needed, to me, with this movie,
Kevin Costner to break down
character. You did. You needed the Kevin Costner. You needed Emma Stone. Like, you needed, I'm trying to think of all these movies, like, where it talks about social justice and it's like a white person is right there. Like, it needs to be someone who they can be like, see, we all aren't bad. But at the end of the day, this movie, it was like, you know, Stevenson was doing it his goddamn self with help because he hired her. Like, he paid, like, that wasn't just someone, he hired that girl.
Yeah, everyone was sort of just waiting for her to be. When was she going to Aaron Brockovich her way out of this?
When was she going to Sandra Bullock and, like, oh, let me take this little Black dude in. I'm going to house him. My man got his own house. He had a grant already. You know what I mean? This ain't the damn, what's that dumbass movie? Green Book. You know what I'm saying? Yo, how bad is that movie? Like, think about it. How bad is that movie? That movie won an Oscar. That the story Oscar. Was fake.
It didn't win
dude.
An Oscar. It won the Oscar.
That movie,
like it won.
It was. We can't talk about Green Book right now. We just can't do it.
I'm
we
sorry.
Really can't
I'm sorry.
Do it.
You're right. Sorry. You're right. You're right. I can't. I can't. I just.
I hear what you're saying. It's so. I want to.
Jamie should have ate some fried chicken in this movie, Braylock. If Jamie would not have known fried chicken and ate it, Braylock, he would have got an Oscar nomination. Braylock is ignoring me, y'all. He's not.
I don't think it's that it wasn't like poppy and that's one way to do it for sure. Like Green Book and Hidden Figures are like that, but there are other ways to do it too. You know, you have movies like what we talked about, like A Few Good Men, or like, or even what do you call it? The
white people.
White people.
You have what's that movie with Michael Clark Duncan and Tom Hanks? The Green Mile.
Oh, The Green Mile.
Mainly white people. Magical Negro.
I mean, that does star Tom Hanks.
Yeah, it does. And so I don't know if it's not just that it needs to be poppy and fun, because you could do those.
Yeah, damn, Michael Jeter in that was so good.
I feel like, honestly, it's that Michael B. Jordan doesn't have he doesn't have the same respect as like a Denzel, and like we were saying, no black actor really does. But if you had somebody like a young Denzel in this part, I think it does. I think the movie feels a little bit different.
Yeah, that's what's frustrating about it, because that's also why I was using Tom Cruise as a reference earlier, because this is that. I mean, it's Michael B. Jordan. Like, that's
I know, but
the
Michael
guy.
B. Jordan, as much as I really enjoy Michael B. Jordan, he isn't that guy. He's never been that actor. His acting is much more. It's a lot more grounded. It's a lot less performative. It draws you in. And these guys that we're talking about, Tom Cruise, you know, Tom Hanks,
White,
you know, Denzel, or Denzel Washington, or
you mean these?
But they're like, it's just like it's a more showy. It's a lot more actory. I don't even know what the word to use.
I mean, it's hard because I don't think there's any young black actor who gets to do the things that like their white counterparts get to do. Like Denzel has gotten that acclaim, but when it comes to even like take actors in their 40s, man, like we had Chadwick, but Chadwick, not every Chadwick Boseman movie got the same acclaim that like another counterpart would have got. Like
right.
He did have Get On Up. Like, he did have Marshall. Like, all those movies weren't always acclaimed. You know what I mean? And it's, like, we don't get it. Like, Halle Berry just came out, a month ago talking about how winning the Oscar affected her in a negative way. You know what I mean? Like, Viola Davis has said the nominations have affected her in a regular way. These are the people who are considered great black performers, and they're telling us constantly how they're underpaid, underappreciated, and how hard it is for them to get a job. Like,
yeah. No, I agree. I agree with you. I agree that we don't really have. It's like, you know, and the people we do have, they're not given the same level of elevation by the press and the media that, and by Hollywood in general, that that other actors are. Like, you know, we do have young. I do think we have young black actors who do this thing that I'm talking about, but they just. They don't really get the same opportunities, and it takes them longer to build their like star meter to get to the point where they get to be put in these films. And by that time, they're already in their late 30s or, you know, 40s even, you know.
Damn,
James, had no interest in seeing a movie like this in theaters, which makes me think about like that, you know, there's that thing in Hollywood where they feel like black people don't go to the movies, right? Like, but of course black people do go to the movies, but like I wasn't trying to see this one, you know, like and the reason that I wasn't trying to see this movie was because even though I've been talking about how I feel like this movie should have gotten more love and like, and how this should have been bigger for these actors. But like, you know, I don't like seeing movies just about the struggle and about like black people being wrongfully imprisoned. And this movie made some money, right? But like, is there something to like, did not enough black people show up for Michael B. Jordan and Jamie Foxx, even though like we love Michael B. Jordan and Jamie Foxx, like we love them, but like, wasn't trying to see this movie.
Even thinking about you saying that, I'm not sure these movies are made necessarily for black people.
Yeah.
Like, I think about all the slavery movies and why they do so well, and I'm like, black folk ain't the ones, like, we watch them, right? But it's like, we ain't.
Right.
Like.
Yeah, like, A Few Good Men isn't about, like, like, A Few Good Men is like, oh, shit, like, people. Now, if I know someone that's in the military, I'm now closer to A Few Good Men, and I'm thinking differently about it. But it's not going into it being like, your skin is a problem. Like, that's not what A Few Good Men is about for white people. So they can go to A Few Good Men and just be like, damn, Tom Cruise is acting his ass off right now. Oh, shit, he really can't handle the truth, right? Like, they can go and just enjoy that shit. But when Just Mercy trailer comes on, I'm immediately upset already. For as much as I like love those actors, I'm not even excited about seeing something like that.
And it sucks that's the job that we gotta get. Like, I feel like
that's true.
What you're talking about is, Tom Cruise gets to just play a young hotshot lawyer going against Jack Nicholson. For us,
and he does act his ass off in that, right? Like, it's like,
but for us, if we're gonna have the Oscar kind of movie, race will be a part of it. And a lot of times it will be how we're suffering due to our race.
Right.
It's like, I just saw
a clip today. This is not an Oscar movie, but it's Ludacris taking in a racist white boy. Like, that's the movie. I saw it and I was like, Ludacris is in a suit. He got money. But he's taking in this little racist white boy. And I'm like, no, because what it does is, it's like Ludacris has to be this exceptional black dude. Gotta have a house, gotta have a car, gotta be well off and teach this racist white boy a lesson. And I'm like, no, man, no. Until I see someone do a remake of Dangerous Minds and it's some Puerto Rican woman or black woman going into the goddamn suburbs and getting these kids off of coke and shit, I don't give a fuck. When am I getting that movie, Braylock?
One of my first sketches was called, I didn't write this, but one of the first sketches that I did, video sketches that I did for with my college sketch group was called Black Teacher, Dumb White Kids. And I played the teacher that went to like the suburbs to teach a bunch of dumb white kids like how to exist in the world. And I think about that all the time. Like, I think about the fact that like there are so many movies that are like, these black kids don't they have no way. Like,
I'm telling you, man, send somebody in the fucking the suburb city. Send them to the Midwest. Shit. Let somebody from the big city go back to the Midwest to help these goddamn white kids. Let me see that movie.
They're on opioids.
Why? Think about it. How many of the reverse have we seen? I ain't seen no Indian. I haven't seen a black person. I ain't seen an Asian American. I ain't seen nobody.
Hey, Keanu Reeves was in Hardball. But those kids were inner city kids.
Those black kids. Michael B. Jordan was in that movie. One of the black kids got shot in that movie.
That's right. He was in Hardball, right? Was it Hardball?
Yeah, Michael B. was in Hardball. This shit is wild, man.
Oh, why does this keep happening?
I'm sorry. Why do we
I mean, this is based off a real you know, a true story. So
yes, yes,
yes. No, of course, and of course, and stories like this should be told, and need to be told. Like, this isn't sort of, I'm not the anger is not so much with this movie. It's more with like the fact that like
real life.
These
can I read
one real life, and then two, that these are the types of movies that keep getting made. Like, we can't, you know, like I've been starting to feel weird about that feeling of like, of, we've said this on the podcast a million times, but I've been starting to feel weird about being like, why does it always have to be about black? Like, I've been feeling weird about having that idea in my head, but mm-hmm. But then I watch something like this and I go, this is why I feel that way. Like, I would have rather watched something else. And then this movie not doing well reflects poorly on not so much Jamie Foxx, but more so on Michael B. They're like, oh, he can't do dramatic. But it's like, that's not what it is. It's maybe this particular role wasn't right or whatever. It's a vicious cycle that is never ending.
Yeah.
Guys, it makes me sad. Like, can I read y'all right now? Entertainment Weekly just posted their Oscar, like, what is that guest thing they do every year? Mm-hmm. And they got some black films on there. And some of the black films are The Five Bloods. Cool. What is this? One Night. What is it called? Damn, it just went away. Basically, the night that all the black leaders ended up in Miami. We got that. We got Black Judas. And it's like, I like that they have that, those three movies feel different. But at the end of the day, those three movies will include black suffrage from white hands. Like, even when we have the movie with, you know, Malcolm X, Jim Brown.
Wait, The Five Bloods does?
Well, not necessarily Five Bloods. Sorry, not necessarily Five Bloods, but these niggas dying in war. So that's sad.
Right.
But the Five Bloods. but I think about like the movie that shows our greatest leaders, they will face racism in that movie. Yeah,
but these niggas dying in
when
war.
When I think about Black Judas, like, if you know the story, you know how that ends. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's like, man, how do we get to the thing James just talked about, where it's like, how do we get to the Oscar-winning movie where it's just a black lawyer taking down a corrupt system or something like that, and it's not about the system hurting black people? Because again, I don't think black people, our blackness will never not exist. It's just like all of these movies that are seen as high caliber movies is always us fighting racism. And it's like, damn, there's so much more to us. Like, yeah, we fight racism every day, but it's like, there's so many different levels.
Can you imagine that we also live the rest of our fucking lives too? Like, we fight racism every day, and then we also have to deal with just regular day-to-day shit.
Yeah, man.
We do both.
It makes me sad. Like, I don't even have anything to say to Hollywood. I feel bad for, I'm happy we picked this movie, but I'm also just sad because it's like, John started off the podcast really sad. And that affected my
Wait
whole
a minute.
Mood.
Hold on.
Yeah, this is all Bray's fault.
What you talking about?
John talking about
this is all Bray's fault.
Oh, it's my fault? Y'all picked this movie. You guys picked the movie about black men on death row.
I'm sorry.
We gotta talk about
I'll accept it.
What this is. You know, I do think that the way that they did this film was well executed and got across the message, and it avoided a lot of the pitfalls that we usually want. Like, this movie wasn't about a white savior. It wasn't like, it was a black man who started this initiative, who helped exonerate this man. You know, he was the boss. Brie Larson was helping him. You know, he did a lot of great work. It very much showed why this is an issue people should care about. Like, really kind of impacts you. It is one of those movies, and look, white people do have these types of movies, like, you know, there are sad white people movies that you don't want to watch again, like Schindler's List, right? You don't want to watch that movie.
Yeah, it's really sad.
Like,
yeah.
You know, there are movies, no, there are even like you. The heroic movies like Saving Private Ryan are still like, it's rough. Like, you know, but it's tough when sometimes those things feel like, oh, well, that's the past. And this doesn't feel that way because we know that it's still happening. The death penalty.
Yeah, that's today.
Listen, we can make that movie about exists. Yesterday.
They show the dudes at the end. They show my man getting off Ice Cube's, the person who he was playing, getting released in 2015, 2017?
30 years. 30 years he was in jail for something just because the cop said, you look like you did it.
They said, you look like you did it.
Hey, you think that cop went to jail or got fired? Or you think he just got put on administrative leave?
He didn't get put on administrative leave. I didn't even get to that point.
I think about Breonna Taylor a lot. And I think about how the cop was charged for the shots he missed.
Right.
Like.
Yeah, well, because of the wall, the building.
Like, can you think, like, think about, like.
See, if you damage public property.
The shots he missed.
Yeah,
but that woman was sleeping in her bed.
Yeah, but you can't recklessly damage property that is not your own.
My question, and this really raises it in everyday life, is where is safe? You know what I'm saying? Like, for real, for real. My man, Johnny D, was at work, was driving home, got arrested, was put on death row for a year before his trial, which is actually factual. You know, that was in 1986 or something like that, right? To 2020, a woman was asleep with her boyfriend and was murdered, and nothing truly happened to the people who murdered her. And again, what is very scary about this is that this is going through our justice system. And every day we get up, we try to be good people. And the thing that's scary to me is we have to have a perfect record, because at the end of the day, if something was to happen, people would try to vilify you. You know what I mean? Like that's what happened to her. Like they tried to vilify this girl. And it's like, why do we stay here? Like
why do we stay here? Well, here's what I want to celebrate. The Asian American man that directed this and co-wrote this movie. Can good we job, big man. Up this this Asian American man?
Right. That's cool.
I mean, and my man has
he's also the reason we know. He's also the reason good. We know Lakeith Steinfeld. He directed the short of Short Term 12. Lakeith was in it. When he got money to make the feature, Lakeith was the only actor he brought back. And that movie put Lakeith on. How beautiful is that?
Yes. And he's doing Shang-Chi, which is, I mean, fantastic. I can't wait. I listen, this made me very happy. Just reading this, seeing that that's what he's doing next, I now feel much better. Made me forget for just a brief moment about all of the bullshit that we were just
all I got. I don't have to talk to Hollywood. It's just like I feel like I'm a broken record just telling them, hey man, I'm happy the story exists, but we have other stories that we can, you know, Braylock can own a house and just like maybe the house got ghosts or something. He's just trying to get the ghosts out the house.
Ghosts.
Okay, we literally reviewed this movie. It's called His House.
Okay, let me try again. Braylock got a farm and he just trying to keep the farm going. That's it. Like the farm was passed down and now he just trying to keep it going. You know, James is a cartoonist and he's just trying to get his cartoons going, but maybe he's daydreaming about the cartoons coming to life.
You're describing
woke. That's the television series woke. What was the farm one?
It was that Matt Damon.
We bought a zoo?
We bought a zoo.
Wait. Why did you say a white person?
Because, at first I thought about Queen Sugar, but I don't know. I don't really know how Queen Sugar
works. That's what I was going to say. Were you talking about Queen Sugar?
And the thing is, I thought you were talking about We Bought a Zoo, and I was like, I refuse to acknowledge.
When he said that, I was like, wait, is there a George Washington Carver movie I don't know about?
At first it was Queen Sugar, but I was like, I don't have own. So I wasn't sure if it was a farm or what the hell was happening, or was it a ghost? So I got confused midway through it. So I just pivoted to...
You've never seen it.
I just tried to pivot to We Bought a Zoo.
You're like, I've never seen it. I don't even know.
I forgot if he bought a zoo or if he got a farm. I didn't remember, but I was too far into it.
I don't do bits anymore. So I just wanted to make sure I acknowledge that.
I think Queen Sugar is about a farm. I think
it's about a farm, right? Okay.
I'm trying to acknowledge that I don't do bits anymore. I just wanted to make sure that the people listening to the podcast know.
Nobody asked. Nobody.
That I don't do. But I want to make sure that they know.
Not one person.
You know what I'm saying? I know nobody asked, but we can't hear them, right? Okay. See, that's the thing is we can't hear the people that are listening because we're recording
They're asking, right, James? They're asking.
You know, people might be asking.
The way that you're talking about it, it just feels like a bit. It feels like this.
And I'm just making sure that they know that I don't do no bits no more. You know what I'm talking about?
All right.
So... Your boy doesn't do bits.
Your boy okay. don't do bits.
This is great,
James. Your boy don't do bits.
He don't do bits.
He don't do bits. All right,
John Donakers. Let's take it home, baby. Let's take it home.
What was I going to say? God
damn it. Is it time for the calls? We rate and review movies based on whether or not we like them.
I'm so...
But whether or not they help the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood.
Can you tell we're recording this late at night? It's time for the cause. Everything James just said. If we believe it fully helped the cause, it's a black fist. If we think it somewhat helped the cause, it's a white palm. If we think it didn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. All right? Count of three. We'll raise our...
James, wait for the count. You never wait for the count.
One.
I don't wait for the count no more. You know what I'm talking about?
Three.
Black fist. Black fist.
Okay.
All right. Three black fists. All right. So we gave
I gave
it
two black fists.
Okay, James, enough of that. That's not how it works.
Enough of you and enough of that.
I gave it a black
fist. I gave it two black
fists. No, okay, James. No. You keep... No. I gave it a black fist, damn it, because it is telling people about how the justice system works and how it is not really serving justice for black people in America. And it shows the great work that black people are doing to help change this. And I'm very happy that it exists. And I big up Michael B. Jordan for making sure this movie got made. I big up Stevenson for doing this in real life. Jamie Foxx is a living legend. Put respect on that man's name. All right.
Put a little respect on
Brie Lawson, I'm on your side. You got a black woman directing the sequel. Good for you. And cool.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I gave it two black fists for all the reasons that Gerard just said. And I also just want to say, I mean, like, you know, I know I was talking about the issues that I have with this particular movie or with watching movies like this, but this is an important story that needed to be told and people need to know about. People need to know that this shit is happening and it is going on. So absolutely, black fists all around. The phenomenal talent, the Asian American director and co-writer of the film. And I don't know who the other person was. Let me look them up real quick because they might...
It's a white dude.
What they doing?
Okay, never mind. I'm going to stop talking. Stop talking about that. But I'm saying, you know, absolutely black fists.
Wow.
And I gave it a black fist because, you know, I actually like this film and appreciate it for all of its merits, unlike my counterparts.
Wait, what?
I appreciate it for all of its merits. And I said that I liked the movie, just didn't enjoy the third act.
Don't even answer. Don't answer to him.
I liked all three acts.
Wow.
I thought it was really important. I'm glad it was made. No, I mean, come on, guys. Michael B. Jordan, Jamie Foxx, they both did their thing. They're keeping it going. There's nothing else to say. Thank you guys for listening to this podcast. It's worth watching. It's on HBO Max if you have it and available to rent. I think it's definitely worth a watch. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website where you'll find links to our merchandise. We got shirts. We got pillows. We got iPhone cases. I think there's even a sale on right now. Also, by the way, Forever Dog has Forever Dog Plus. You can totally subscribe to that and not hear us talk about ads.
Yo, what? They can listen to us ad-free on Forever Dog Plus?
Wow.
Forever Dog Plus.
Oh, snap.
If you rate and review us on iTunes and give us 5 stars, we'll read your review on the air. We haven't done this in a second. Okay. This one is, I don't think I've done this. CJ Nick 27. This is the best find of my life.
Wow.
I love this pod. I just started listening about 2 weeks ago, and it has been a binge fest. I can't wait for y'all to do Tenet. And more from my wife. She says, y'all review on the Book of Eli was not her favorite, she says.
Wow.
Love you guys. On a 5-star review,
not her favorite.
I love that she's like, oh, I love the idea that he just found this podcast. He was writing this review, and then his wife was like, what are you doing? And he's like, well, I'm writing a review. Black Men Can't Jump. And she's like, I told you about that a long time ago. I listen all the time. He's like, oh, okay. And then she probably said, oh, let them know that the Book of Eli review wasn't that good.
I know. It's like, keep them humble.
He's like, you want me to put that in the review?
While you got him on the phone.
And she was like, yeah, they need to know.
Keep them humble. Keep them humble. Man. Oh, my goodness.
You can follow me at John Braylock.
You can follow me at James Third Comedy, jamesthirdcomedy.com. Third is 3RD.
You can follow me at Drew Milligan on Twitter and Instagram.
Oh, and my wife, Tessa, has a new series out called Now What?
Hey.
On YouTube. Soul Pancake produced it, so hey, look that up and watch that.
Love.
All right, guys, we will see you next week. Peace
forever dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production, executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcasts on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all of the latest Forever Dog news.
So now we've come to the end of the road. Still I can't let go. It's a natural. James, you're throwing off my rhythm, James. You're throwing off my rhythm.
What's up, Black Men Can't Jump comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!